1. We're in a series on Sunday mornings here at Spratling Baptist Church in 1 John. We started the latter part of last year, and so now we've been in for the 2 months of the new year, and we're kind of winding down. We're in chapter 5, and we've got two more books, but they're very small. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Look with me as we read this together, or I'll read it, you can follow. 1 John 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him, that begot loveth him, and that he is begotten of him. Now, some folks get mixed up in the King James literature and the language and the writing there, but the truth is it's relatively easy to understand if you look at it. And so I'll help us understand it just a little bit better today. But John here in chapter 1, verse 5 of his book, 1 John is called Little John, 1 John. So he has three books that he authored here, and the human author. So they're the Little John books, because they're small books. Big John refers to the Gospel of John that he wrote as well. And so here in Little John, 1 John 5:1, he repeats a phrase that he's been repeating throughout the former four chapters, and he uses that term, born of God. And as a matter of fact, that phrase is used seven times in 1 John alone. 1 John chapter, 1 John alone, seven different times. Now, when he talks about being born of God, and we've kind of talked about it a little bit because it's already been mentioned, but there's two types of birth possible. And we get this. This is kind of like beans and tater stuff, but two types of birth possible, he's talking about born of God. Number one, there's physical birth. Physical birth. Physical birth is the way each and every one of us got here. Physical birth. It's the way that all, according to the experts, all 8 billion population as of today, this year, 8 billion people worldwide, it's the way all 8 billion people got here. Because we all got here the same way. Bible scholars believe since Adam and Eve, you listening? Since Adam and Eve, there's probably been 80 to 85 billion people born. That's Bible scholars. I don't know how they come up with that. There's 8 billion people today, according to the census. But 80 to 85 billion people since Adam and Eve, all 80 to 85 billion, whatever the number is, simply got here the same way physical birth. Only a couple people didn't get here the same way you and I did. Number one, Adam. Adam didn't get here. We're going to talk about that Wednesday at our Bible study in the Fellowship Hall. Adam got here by the creation, by the skilled creative hands of a holy God. And God got his hands dirty. And God simply got some dirt, got some dust, and created man out of the dust of the ground. We're going to see that Wednesday, our Bible study. But Adam got here, not by physical birth. He got here by the creation of God himself, created Adam differently than all 80 to 85 billion people that's ever been born physically. That's how Adam got here. One off, one time only, that's how Adam got here. The second person that didn't get here the way we did through physical birth is his wife, Eve. Woman. First female. Eve got here just similar to the way Adam got here, except God simply became an anesthesiologist. You didn't know that, did you? And put Adam to sleep. And then God, being the great physician, the great healer, our doctor, God simply not only became an anesthesiologist to put Adam to sleep, but then he became a surgeon. And he simply operated on Adam, his first creation, and took a rib out of the side of Adam, and somehow, someway, he created woman. He created Eve. She got here that way. Adam got here with the hands of a skilled creator, and who simply created man from the dust of the ground. He put Adam to sleep, his creation. He had surgery, removed a rib. And then apparently he was a plastic surgeon because the Bible says he closed all that up. Wow. He closed that up, and then all of a sudden,
Adam woke up. All of a sudden, Adam saw something he had never seen before. He saw something that was never more beautiful. He saw something that was so amazing, and he said, "Woman!" He said, "Woman." Physical birth, we understand it. That's how we got here. That's how our children got here. Our offspring got here. Hey, our grandchildren got here. They all got here the same, through physical birth. That's how we got here. He talks about being born of God. Every single birth has a biological father and a biological mother. Hey, there are mighty people here today. There's also people in the whole world that don't know who their biological dad was. They might not know who their biological mom was. But the truth is, that's how we all got here. Had a biological mom, a biological dad. That's how we got here. And everybody got here the same way, except Adam, except Eve, and except Jesus. Let's not leave Jesus out. He didn't get here by having a biological dad. He did have a biological mom. And the Bible says that he was virgin born. And his father was a Holy Spirit. And so that's how he got here. And so only three people ever simply got here other than a physical birth that then you and I. So we all get the physical birth part of what we're talking about. Now, biological father plus a biological mother equals offspring equals human life, human family. Now, most generally, I say all that to say this, most generally, our offspring have like-minded DNA. It's exactly the DNA, but there's some characteristics in that DNA. There's some traits in that DNA known as birthmarks. And so we're talking about birthmarks a little bit today, and because we understand that our children are. Last week we had a little couple that came forward after church, and some of y'all know Ronnie Smith, my nephew, he's 25. And y'all know his little girlfriend, who came from Parrish. And they came here, and they were standing right there. And I saw them standing there. And so they visited church last week. They go to First Baptist Church in Arcoma. And and little Parrish, by the way, she got saved in our church back when Brother Neil Prock was here. And some of y'all was here in that great revival we had when I first got here. And she was one of the people that got saved that day. She was here visiting and got saved. And so she's been in our, kind of like in our family without being in our family, a girlfriend of my nephew. And they're standing there and all nervous looking. "Uncle Donnie, I need to ask you a question." I said, "What is it?" "We would like to ask you if you would officiate our wedding." And so they got the date set, November the 4th. It's at a venue in Greenwood. And so I'm all excited about that. But we understand physical birth, offspring, and we understand characteristics that follow that. And I was saying all that about Caitlin, because Caitlin is a barber. She's a barber. She's not a beautician. She's not a beauty operator. She's a barber. And she's so beautiful and so gorgeous, you're going like, "Well, I didn't know barbers looked like that." And she's a barber. And so it reminded me that when my son, we're talking about trades, so when my son Ronald was just getting his first haircut, it couldn't have been his first haircut because he wouldn't know what I'm fixing to tell you, but sometime when he's getting one of his early haircuts, we were there, they put the little thing on the barber chair, they sit him up there, and they put a little tape on him, and I'm just sitting there as a dad, proud dad. And the barber asked him, "You'll like this, Miss Jamie." The barber asked him, "Son, what can I do for you? What kind of haircut do you want?" And he was a little cotton top. He took after Cheryl. He said, "I want my hair just like my daddy's, dark." And that's when I had dark hair, so excuse me. A trait. My boy wanted a trait of his daddy. He wanted a characteristic of his dad. And so that's what John's talking about here. We're going to see that kind of unfold. So we understand that offspring, we understand children, we understand that our boys and girls that are born to our sons and daughters, we understand that they have some birthmarks. Sometimes it's in their size of their frame. Sometimes it's in the shape of their noses. Sometimes it's in the color of their eyes. Sometimes it's in the shade of their hair. And so we understand there's traits, characteristics that come along, their birthmarks that come along with physical birth, family traits, characteristics through the birth process, the physical birth process. All right, then we have the second type of birth, which is spiritual birth. Born of God, it says. In John chapter 3, in Big John chapter 3, it's the start of a key passage that talks about, for the first time, you must be born again. John chapter 3, the Gospel of John. A man by the name of Nicodemus, he wasn't just any old man. Nicodemus was a man that was a rabbi. He was a man that was a religious leader. He was a man that was a ruler of the Jews. He was some guy. He had a lot of status. He had position. He had power politically. I mean, this guy was somebody. He understood scripture. He understood the law. Nicodemus, John, Big John, chapter 3. And he was prominent. He was a political man, pious man, proud of what he knew and the group, his circle that he ran in. But then he met Jesus, that great voice of authority. The Lord Jesus, in his earthly ministry, went to this religious man, this rabbi, this man that understood scripture, the law. And Jesus looked at him and didn't bat an eye. Jesus said to him, and he said, "Verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be born again, he shall not, cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, Nicodemus heard that. He was a man that understood the law. He was a rabbi. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was a religious leader. And he heard that. And in scripture, you can see him. He's scratching his head. He's like scratching his head. Like, what did he just say? You got to be born again. Yeah, he said, he asked Jesus, he said, "What?" He said, "Can a man be born the second time? Can a man enter into his mother's womb the second time and be born?" I mean, that's a legit question. He didn't know. He was hearing Jesus say something that it went over his head. He couldn't figure it out. He couldn't understand it. And so he said, "Can a man enter in the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" So we understand physical birth, we understand spiritual birth, you got to be born again. Both births, physical and spiritual, are definite experiences. And as a matter of fact, no one ever asked me, I would dare say no one's ever asked anybody here this next question: have you ever been physically born? Well, of course they don't ask that question. If they're talking to you, they know that you have been physically born. You've had that experience. I've had that experience. But you might have been asked. You might have asked somebody, "Hey, have you ever been born again? Hey, are you a Christian? Hey, are you saved?" Might have had that question asked. And you ask that question, I've asked people that question. My wife asks that question a lot of times to people, and folks have different answers. You ask them, "Hey, if you die today, would you go to heaven? Hey, if you are you saved? Are you a Christian? Are you confident in, do you have peace with the Lord if you die?" And some will go like, "Oh, I think so." Others will say, "Well, I hope so." Some people will say, "Well, maybe so." No, 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 no. Hey, physical birth is a definite experience we can relate to. Can I just tell you that spiritual birth, being born again, getting saved, hey, is a definite experience that we ought to be able to relate to. And by the way, it's so essential, it's so definite that, hey, it's essential to you and I going to heaven when we die. So John says in 1 John 5, in verse 1, he said, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, is born again." He's heaven bound. She's heaven bound. They are heaven bound. If you went back to 1 Big John chapter 1, verse 12, here's what the Bible would say. Here's what it says: "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." It says, hey, believe. You got to believe. You got to accept it. You got to understand who Jesus is. And if you do, you're born of God, the spiritual aspect of spiritual birth. So physical birth produces definitive physical characteristics, and spiritual birth likewise produces spiritual characteristics as well. So John outlines three birthmarks that we have to have as Christians. Number one, the birthmark of love. Notice what it says in verse 1. The birthmark of whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him, that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. So he uses that word a couple times, love. There should be a birthmark in our lives, in our actions, in our conduct, in our behavior, in our mannerisms. It ought to be a birthmark that people can see, and that birthmark ought to be the birthmark of love for the one who gave us life, for the one who saved us, for the one that made it possible for us to have that spiritual birth and be born again. I want you to think back for a minute, a physical birth. I want you to think back when you realize that you were going to have your first child. Some of you, let me ask you to think back when you're going to have your first grandchild. So just think back for just a second about that time when you was going to have your first baby, you was going to have your first child, daddy was going to have your first son or daughter, mom, you're going to have your first child, a son or a daughter, you're going to have your first grandchild. I mean, think about that, because here's what happens. The thrill, the excitement, the joy that a new family member is on the way. I mean, I remember that so vividly. Now, in some cases, you might have grew up in a family where you was like up in years and that your parents were having another baby. So maybe it was a sibling that you got excited about. Maybe a niece or a nephew. I mean, so we can all understand somehow about somebody being born in our family physically, the birthmark of love. There's some birthmarks. Then the talk begins as that baby comes, as that new baby's there, the people around the baby, the people around the circle, the family circle, they begin to say, man, that boy, look at that boy. He's going to be tall like his Uncle Joe. Characteristics they see right off the bat. Long, lean, and got all these inches to it. Oh, look at her. Man, does she ever have her mother's eyes? We've all been there. Their characteristics just stand out. They're birthmarks that we see. Their characteristics are traits that we see in that person that reminds us of somebody in our family. They're noticeable traits announced by family members that have seen the baby for the first time, and they relate them to somebody else, and so they recognize them and they make the announcement. You see, it's natural, it's common, and it's expected that children, one of the birthmarks is to love, have a birthmark of love, because it's natural, like verse 1 said, it's only natural that children would love their. It's just natural that children's going to love the person that birthed them, that parented them. It's a natural thing. And it should be the same thing as Christians. They should have the birthmark of love. I mean, we ought to love our spiritual father, God. We ought to love our spiritual family, the church. It ought to be natural. We ought to have that birthmark in our life. And that's what he's talking about there in verse 1. See, when we understand all God's done on our behalf, he's done that for you and I, then the love for him should just flow out. We shouldn't have to fake it. We shouldn't have to pretend. We ought people ought to see us and now to go like, oh, wow, hey, all he's done for me, undeserving me, I'm just going to love him with all I got. And it just comes out. It just flows out. It oozes out. In Romans chapter 8, 14, 15, all sons of God have been given the Spirit of God who cry, Abba, Father. Now, Abba is an Aramaic word for daddy. A few years ago, I had a chance to go to the Holy Land. I got to go to Israel, and we flew into Jerusalem. On that long trip there, I'm watching many Israelites, people that live in Israel, they're just traveling back there, and they have their garb on, and they look a little different than we do. They dress different than we do. But I saw little kids go up to I didn't know it was their daddy until they go like, Abba. It's blessed my heart. They call their daddies Abba on the plane. They call their daddies Abba when you're in their country. And so what that verse is telling us that as sons of God, children, believers that had spiritual birth, it says that hey, we can, the Spirit of God tells us we can just call upon our Heavenly Father. We can just call Him Abba. We can just mean in that it's we can just call Him our Heavenly Father, our Father. Because of our spiritual birth allows us to approach not the God of the universe, but the God of our Heavenly Father. Now, the Pope might say that all children are God's children in the world. That's false. That's wrong. Everybody's not a child of God. But if you've had a personal spiritual birth, then you are a child of God, and you can simply love Him and have that birthmark of love for the one that allowed that spiritual birth of love. Now, here's where it gets a little tricky in the Christian life. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, "Whosoever shall compel you to go a mile, go to." And then Jesus says, "You heard it said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy." He said, "You heard that." But Jesus, let me just clear it up for you. Let me clear it up for you, that you guys that have the spiritual birth. You got to have the spiritual birthmark of love. And here's what it really means. This is when the rubber meets the road. Here's what it really means if you have love, like the characteristics of our Heavenly Father. Jesus said, you've heard it said, you ought to love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But let me clear it up, Jesus said. He goes on to say in verse 44, "But I say, love your enemies. I say, bless them that bless you," or curse you, excuse me. He says, "But I say, be good to them that hate you." He said, let me clear it up. "Pray for them that despitefully use you." Now that's a little different. Let me ask you, Bradley Baptist Church, let me ask you today, do you have the spiritual birthmark of love? Meaning that it's not just loving the people that's easy to love, not just loving the people that you like, not just loving the people that are like you or like me, but do you, I'm talking to you, do you and I, do we have the spiritual birthmark of love that goes that second mile and says, hey, to love your enemies, love those that hate you, love those that curse and persecute you and use you. You see, those two verses say, enemies that curse, hate, use, persecute us, hey, if you got the birthmark of Christ through your spiritual birth, then you're to love them. You're to go the second mile with them. You're going out of your way for them. You do something special for them. You got to let them know that even though they hate you and use you, hey, you got to let them know that, hey, here's a guy that simply is going to demonstrate the inner birthmark of love, and I'm going to show you my love for you. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul describes biblical love. He says, true love don't keep tabs. True love don't keep records. True love don't keep a tally. True love don't keep books. True love don't keep belt notches. True love don't keep up with wrongs and mess ups and mistakes and evil. True love don't do that, he says. True love forgives. True love let's go. True love moves forward. And you love that person that was hard to love. You love that person that didn't do you right. You love that person that's an enemy. You love that person that hated you or your family. Not easy to do, but hey, as Christians, we're to have that birthmark of love. The person who wrongs you, the person who did bad to you, the person who you simply forgave, and you demonstrated the birthmark of love, should never, ever have that incident, that wrong, that mistake brought up again. Just turn it over to God. Easier said than done, and I know it. But that's what the birthmark of love is. When God forgives our sin, the Bible says He casts those sins in the deepest part of the sea. Now, according to missionary Corey Boom, Corey Ten Boom, according to her, she says, and when he buries those sins in the deepest part of the sea, and he puts up a sign that says, no fishing. Don't bring them up. Don't think about it. Let it go. He's forgiven them. Let me just leave this with you. Quit remembering what God forgot. If you ask God to forgive you, let it go. If you ask God to forgive you, all of us have, let it go. Quit bringing it up. Quit thinking about it. Quit meditating on it. Quit letting it bother you. Hey, let it go. Hey, quit remembering what God forgot. We bring it up.
So the birthmark, number one, of love. Number two, real quick, the birthmark of obedience. Look at verse 2. So we have a birthmark of love. But this we know, verse 2, that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. Now, that keep commandments is being obedient to His commandments. Christians, believers, followers, disciples should bear the birthmark that others see, that others observe, that others notice, the birthmark of obedience. We keep His commandments. That's a birthmark, spiritual birthmark of a Christian. As Christians, we have to do more than just know Scripture. We have to do more than just memorize Scripture. We have to do more than just understand Scripture. We have to obey Scripture. It's a birthmark. It's a trait, a characteristic. It's something in our spiritual DNA that tells off on us because we love others that are hard to love and we obey Scripture that's hard to obey. We obey it. Spradling currently has three young people from our flock here, Jared, Dakota, and Michi. Those are three young people that grew up here. They have graduated high school, and now they're all serving in our military forces in this great country called America. They're soldiers, they're airmen, they're Navy folks. And so these three military personnel that we love, we saw grow up, and now they're serving our great country. When they receive an order from their superior, we as a church, we as family, we as friends would expect them to follow that order. We would say that's their duty. That's their job. That's their responsibility. That's their obligation to carry out that order. To carry out that command of their superior. We automatically think that. And you can bet on those three people are doing that. So obedience means compliance. We're to obey. Oh, can I just tell you a secret? It's not always easy to obey. It's not always easy to trust and obey. Or there's no other way. It's not always easy. In Genesis chapter 22, one of the great examples of not being easy, but someone doing it. God comes to Abraham. And God says, Abraham, take thy son Isaac. Take thy son Isaac, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and offer him as a burnt offering. Now that don't make sense. I can't get my arms around it. I can't figure it out why God would do that. And we're going like, what? God did that? Yeah, God said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and take up here and offer him as a burnt offering in a place that I will show you. That's in verse 1. In verse 3, here's what Abraham said. Abraham rose up early the next morning. He didn't go seek counsel about what should I do, what God said. He didn't go pray about it. He didn't go fast. He didn't simply say, well, I don't know. He didn't flip a coin. He didn't do rock, scissors, and paper. No. What did he do? The Bible says Abraham, he rose up early the next morning. He didn't get a second opinion. He just rose up early the next morning. And the Bible says he took Isaac to the place which God had told him. Abraham was He was obedient. He didn't question God. He just obeyed God. He didn't second guess God. He just obeyed God. He had that spiritual birthmark of obedience. And by the way, the story ends. That story ends with God doing what God does, the impossible.
Because when we follow God's will, we don't question it. We just follow God's will. Wow. The end just tells it all. God comes through. He is faithful. He is on your side. He's there for you and me. Hey, that's exactly what he did there. He'll do it in your life too. But you have to exercise the obedience in everything. The Bible says in 1 Samuel, to obey is better than sacrifice. Spread an understanding. Here's what I mean. To obey is better than me just preaching about obeying God. It's better than this praise team singing about obeying God. It's better than our children's department in Bible school saying, hey, we have a trust and obey, and they have a song about and a skit about obey. No, no, hey, it simply means to obey is doing what God says. In 1 Kings 17, the Bible says the word of the Lord came into Elijah. Elijah's running from Jezebel. He's scared of her. She's threatening to kill him. And he's running. And he's God's prophet. And God speaks to him. And it says, and the word of the Lord came to Elijah, go to the brook Cherith, and thou shalt drink from the brook. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. I don't know about you, but God spoke to me and said, hey, you go over here to the Arkansas River. You can drink out of that water. There's a drought going on in Elijah's day, by the way. And you can drink of that water. And he said, I'll just feed you. How are you going to feed me? I'll just send the birds to come feed you. I would think, like, am I sure I'm hearing God? That's not what Elijah did. Because Elijah had the birthmark, the spiritual birthmark, obedience. And the Bible says, he said, I'll feed you there. He gets you some water, and I'll have the ravens feed you twice a day. And the next verse said, Elijah went and did according to the word of God. Can I read it again? And the Bible said, and Elijah did according to the word of God. Elijah was obedient. Elijah had the spiritual birthmark. Elijah had the characteristics of a Christian, John says. We're to have that birthmark of love. Love those that are easy to love. And we're to obey God's commandments. Abraham did it. Elijah did it. Noah did it. So it says, hold it, Brad. Hold it, Brother Don. Brother Don holds. Some things are just very hard and difficult to understand, less do. I get it. But what could be harder than Abraham taking that son he waited to be 100 years for him for? God promised him a son, and he waited and waited and waited and waited a century. He's 100 years old when he's born. And then he's born, and God says, offer him. That's hard. That's hard. Oh, by the way, real quick, I'm just going to skip the third point just because of time. But let me finish the second point of the birthmark of obedience. Look at verse 3 real quick. Verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, that his commandments are not grievous. I love Scripture. It always details. It always comes through. It always does what we're thinking before we get there. He says, hey, these commandments I give you are not grievous. But in Spratt understanding, it means I'm not going to have you do something that is burdensome. Things that are too heavy for you. Things that might be a little too hard for you to bear. He says, I'm not going to do that. Let me close with this. Sometimes God, don't miss it, sometimes God will put more on us than we can bear. But will never put more on us, don't miss it, than he can bear. He always comes through. He's faithful. He wants you and I to have a birthmark of love and a birthmark spiritually of obedience. And the third birthmark is faith. That's in verse 4. We'll leave it at that. And let's close with that one verse that you all know, verse. Back of one chapter, chapter 4, verse 4. Greater is he that is in you
than he that is in the world.
Hey, hey, he's greater than this. He's not going to have us do something we can't do. If you trust him, he'll find a way to get you through it. Because greater is he than you. He's in love. Do you have the spiritual birthmark of love? Do you have the spiritual birthmark of obedience? Do you have the spiritual birthmark of faith? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. God loves you. Jesus died for you. Scripture was plain this morning. Simple, down to earth. Everybody can understand. Only you can answer that question. Do you have the birthmarks that John said we have to have? If you're going beyond. Only you can answer that question. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word today. We thank you for 1 John chapter 5. What a great book and study it's been. Father, I pray, Holy Spirit of God, you are convicting hearts. Lord, that you're showing us areas where we might need to take some action. Lord, help us to be better at loving people that aren't lovable. Help us to be better at being obedient, prompt obedience when we slack. Father, help us to never get away from the great faith that it takes for us to serve you. We pray, Father, that you would bless today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand. The room is going to lead us in an invitation. If we can help you, come. Let's talk to you, anybody? Back there, Cheryl has three sisters. There's four girls and four siblings. Then they got a brother. There's five.